Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference in Galena, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report for the 14th day of June 2018. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. The president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association will help us take a look at beef trade across the planet. And then we'll take up the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Oh, and along the way, we'll check in on the cash grain market with Matt Bennett, too. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And it'll all happen on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear the numbers as they finished up just prior to the close, so not quite settlement prices, simply because I needed a little extra time to get things out to you. Internet activity here at the Eagle Ridge is tougher than I expected. July corn today down about 13 cents at 362 and three quarters. December maybe 12 and three quarters lower at 384 and a quarter. The March at 393 and three quarters again, 12 and a half lower. These are just prior to the close. May contract down 12 at $4 and a quarter, and July at 406, 12 cents lower. July beans 8 and three quarters lower at 927. The August down 8 and three quarters at 933. November on its close down 8 and three quarters at 950. The January at 958 and a quarter, down 8 and three quarters, and July down 8 cents at 973 and a quarter. Bean oil futures at $30.14, 6 cents higher. The bean meal down $4.40 at 340, 340. Soft red winter wheat. July contract 14 and a half lower, 502 and a quarter the settlement price, rather the closing price, and September at 518 and a quarter down 14 and a half cents. And the hard red July at 523, about 16 cents lower for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago, and these are settlement prices at 106.25, down $1.67.5. August there at 101.87.5, $2.02.5 lower. And feeder cattle finished down $1.97.5 in the lead option August for 100 pounds at $143.67.5. September at 144.80. down $1.87.5, and lean hogs on the day in the June contract 17.5 cents higher at $81.17.5. July at $81.62.5, down $1.15. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what some of the other markets are trading like at this hour. July crude oil, $66.71 in a barrel, about 7 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $1.41.5, 2 2/10 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 2 8/10, that's at $2.15 and 6 cents. And gasoline on the RBOB at $2.09 and 3 cents, 3 1/10 cents lower. Natural gas about 6 1/10 cents lower, $2.95 and 7 1/10 cents per gallon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, roughly even at 25,175. The U.S. dollar at 94.7. That's up 1 point even. And the gold futures, about $4.60 higher at $1,301.50 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. A 30% chance of rainfall, some thunderstorms mainly after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 65 tonight, east-southeast winds at 3 to 6. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain before 1 in the afternoon, partly sunny, and a high of 88. South winds around 8 miles an hour. Friday night, cloudy, a low of 71. South winds will stick with us at 8 miles an hour. And Saturday during the day, a high of 93. South-southwest winds at 7 tonight. During the evening, clear skies will drop to 73. That south wind will still be there. And then Sunday, we'll stay with the south wind, but it'll turn mostly to the southwest at 7 to 9. We'll go to a high of 94 on Sunday. Sunday evening, clear and 73. And Monday, to start the work week, sunny and a high of 91.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to helping farm families succeed by offering financial products and services geared specifically to agriculture and rural communities, and developing partnership-based relationships with its member owners.
This is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're coming to you from the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference in Galena today. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Dan, let's get right to it. What's your assessment of the marketplace and the downturn today?
Well, I think you have to basically just look out your back door, and the back door tells it all. We got a beautiful looking crop. The crop rating levels indicated that starting at the highest level that we've seen in something like 20 years. Yes, they've slipped a couple points off their highs as some areas have maybe missed some of these rains that came through last weekend. But for the most part, the trade is trading supply right now. And crop rating levels, weather forecasts are basically non-threatening. Yes, we're going to see some heat going into the weekend, but then it's supposed to kind of move to the east and cool down, give us another shot of rain. So that is basically what the trade's looking at. Now, I think what's making it more severe than we normally would at this time of year and making the market maybe act more like it's late July, early August, is the spring rally allowed the commercial, and I'm talking about the exporter, I'm talking about the processor, I'm talking about the guy that is the in-between guy that buys the grain from the farmer, buys it from the co-op elevator, and then markets it to an end user, whether it's domestically or foreign. They accumulated a lot of inventory during the April-May rally. They bought a lot of corn. They bought a lot of soybeans. So they really don't have an urgency to buy any inventory on this break. So they're basically taking the attitude, you know, let's see how low is, and then we'll maybe start accumulating inventory. So I think that's kind of where we're at. The other negative, if it is a negative, is uncertainty over trade. I don't think it's that big an issue in the longer term, but in the short term is something that the bear can kind of talk about. So we're also going into the end of the quarter. The funds liquidating their longs and maybe going into a short position to have a short position on when we normally have seasonal weakness during July. So that's kind of, I think, the complexion of the market. Now, we got a lot of weather to go through. I'm not too sure when this crop is going to pollinate. Some are telling me maybe we're going to start seeing some tassels the last week of June, and then we're going to see that increase as we go on into the first week of July, and then the second week of July. So the weather pattern is going to be real critical at that point in time. And then, of course, we have the filling stage to go through. We still have the soybeans crop to be made or broke during the month of August. That's still going to be a key weather pattern. It's been my observation watching the markets is a lot of times when they go lower at the first part of the month, and in this case, we've been lowered since June 1st, basically, that starting in the middle part of the month or maybe the first 20 days or so, the market then runs out of steam, whether it's up or down. In this case, it's been down. So I would look for the market to probably find some stabilization next week. And then the market is going to kind of take a breather, and traders are going to then get positioned for the June 30th report and what kind of weather we're going to have during the first week of July as the tassels begin to shoot across the Corn Belt. So there's a lot of changes that can take place here. So we'll just have to kind of see. It's also been an observation of mine to kind of watch the first day of summer, and that's going to be June 21st this year. I also watched the first day of spring, fall, and winter as timing points where the market could maybe make a trend change. And I think probably more important right now is, does the weather pattern change? Does it lock into a certain weather pattern, whether it be a favorable weather pattern for the rest of the growing season, or if it would lock into something that would be more threatening to the crop? So I think next week, into next week, is going to be real important to this market, for the market to kind of stabilize. By then, the weather guys will begin to kind of take a look at the future and see what kind of weather we're going to have during pollination and whether or not it's going to be favorable or unfavorable.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us today, Dan.
Okay, very well. We'll talk to you next week. I'll be in Illinois next week, so I'm going to bring some warmer temperatures with me when I come to Illinois.
We'll look forward to having you here. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. To let you know, I'm at the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference in Galena. We're now joined by Kevin Kester. He's a California cattle producer and president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, or NCBA. He brought them up to speed, the cattle producers here in attendance at least, on some trade problems that the United States has been having and what he considers may happen in the future. I want to talk about NAFTA first. A large portion of our audience, of course, corn and soybean producers, and we talk with them about the markets and the weather every day. They're awfully concerned about NAFTA and whether or not it will pass. Earlier this morning, in fact, it appears that the NAFTA meetings are going to continue, although they've not been set. You have a pretty simple way of putting this. You've been in contact with Mr. Lighthizer and Mr. Perdue. You think this thing will get passed at some point before the end of the year?
That is a possibility. So I'm an optimistic guy. So a lot of complicated issues going on. And they always save the tough issues to last on these trade negotiations. So we have that to deal with, the tough issues. In addition, Mexico is having their elections July 1st. That'll put kind of a stop at some of the high-level talks. And then we have to address our timing of the U.S. elections and how that interferes with the trade talks at the higher level. So, but with that being said, I think there's a commitment from our administration as well as Canada and Mexico at the 100,000 foot level to get this trade agreement done as soon as possible, because everybody recognizes in all three countries, especially agriculture, can be disrupted. And if we disrupt our trade, that's not good for any of our producers and our markets. So I'm optimistic there's still a chance. This year, it could bleed over until the next Congress early next year, but the end point is within sight, and I think we'll have a successful conclusion to the remodernization trade talks with NAFTA.
Deadline tomorrow for a different trade deal, this one with China. Not really a deal, but whether some tariffs will be imposed on aluminum and steel by the Trump administration. Your thought process, not on whether this will go into place, because I don't think you have quite that much insight, but because you are a member of the Trade Ag Policy Advisory Committee, you've had contact with Robert Lighthizer and, of course, with Secretary Perdue. Your assessment of both of these men and how that works into this trade policy issue?
Sure. So China deal for the tariffs and whether we get into a trade war and back and forth on that, highly complicated and complex. But interactions with Secretary Perdue, for example, the Secretary is with us 100% as producers. He's one himself. He gets it. And he thinks along the same lines as us. Ambassador Lighthizer, a very smart man, very well-versed in trade issues, but he comes from the steel industry, basically. He understands ag. He's heard our message, but he also has other priorities as it comes to trade. So he's in kind of line with the president on, I think, what I call a populist attitude for how he views trade. So, but he understands. Ambassador Lighthizer understands if he disrupts the ag markets, it can be detrimental, and I think they'll do their very best in order to have a successful conclusion to NAFTA.
What's the most important marketplace for beef overseas? I believe it's Japan.
It is. Japan has been our number one market for a few years. In 2017, almost $2 billion of U.S. beef was exported into Japan. So that makes it our number one market. Korea is coming up fast as our number two market. But the important thing about Japan is since the administration withdrew the U.S. out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, we lost our level playing field capabilities into the future with our biggest competitor, which is Australia, as it relates to Japan. Right now, Australia has an average of a 15% tariff advantage over U.S. beef. It'll keep getting larger every year unless we do something about it. And so when Australia, they're in a drought right now, when they come out of that drought and increase their cow numbers, they're going to increase their numbers into Japan, take away our market share, and it's going to be very detrimental to the U.S. beef producer, all the way back to the ranch and farm. So it's in our best interest to encourage our government to either engage with Japan on a bilateral, which Japan doesn't want to do right now, or to re-engage into TPP and see if we can get back into that. So those are our two options, and neither one is going to occur very soon.
The livestock industry as a whole has been on the farm bill side looking for Congress to put into place a vaccine bank for foot and mouth disease. That's not been received particularly well in Washington, D.C. What's your hope there?
Well, we're going to have something. So, again, being the optimistic guy, we have a semi-funded version in the House version of the farm bill. So we have full funding for the first year and very minimal the next 4 years for a foot and mouth disease vaccine bank to get it updated to where we have enough vaccine as well as to cover all 23 different strains of FMD. On the Senate version, we have complete and permanent authorization for a vaccine bank update. However, there's no funding at the moment. So our challenge is to identify funding sources to where we can get past the first year and see what comes out of conference when the two houses merge and see what the final farm bill version is going to end up like.
Wrapping our conversation up, I'd like to know how important really the export market is to the beef industry in the United States.
I cannot overstate how important the export market is to the beef industry. About in today's world, 20% of value for every steer and heifer fed in the U.S. gets exported overseas, and that percentage is growing. It's going to be reaching 25% in the very near future. So if we lose our market share or have disruption in export markets, that dramatically impacts the demand and the prices we get all the way back to the farm and ranch for our calves and our yearlings. So you can't overstate how important our exports are.
Mr. Kester, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Pleasure talking to you, Todd.
That, of course, is Kevin Kester. He is the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We're here in Galena, Illinois, at the Illinois Summer Beef Conference. Well, we're here at the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference in Galena, Illinois. Been on the road all week long. Just a quick recap of what I've seen on the grain elevator tour. In the west central part of the state, much of the crop looked just as it had in east central Illinois, other than it had been dry to begin with, whereas the east central Illinois had had a bit more rain, and a lot more rain at this point, each side of the state getting somewhere between an inch and a half to three quarters to as much as 8 inches in part of east central Illinois over the last weekend. And then as you went north, by the time you get north of Interstate 80, the corn crop begins to get a little smaller as it was put in the ground later, and in the far northern counties across the top of the state of Illinois, corn crop probably 10, maybe 14 to 17 days behind that which is in central Illinois. Much more livestock here. However, I also made note that the soybeans across the whole of the state were in pretty much the same condition, very good, and the same size. So we'll hear more about that as we take a look at the weekly crop progress reports going through the coming months and what USDA has to say about the size of the crop in the United States. We're now joined by Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for being with us. Let's jump right into this because we had kind of a downturn when we were talking about this marketplace a bit earlier in the day, and it wasn't very pretty in Chicago.
Well, obviously, we've taken it on the chin with beans of late. You know, today they're actually trading a little better than corn. Corn really held together fantastic on Wednesday, down, you know, marginally, as beans were down 18 cents. And then you come in here this morning and you see corn down double digits for a while, tried to rally back up some, and now we're down at the noon hour, you know, around 9 or 10 cents. So it was kind of a rough go. Obviously, we don't have any weather issues to speak of. A lot of folks are talking a 180-plus national yield based upon crop ratings. I think it's a little early for that yet, but the market's going to do what it wants to do. And so I'm definitely not too excited about making sales down here at these levels.
I take it, however, that you were pretty happy with the fundamentals after USDA's June WASDE, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report, which dropped the ending stocks for the 18-19 crop to 1.577 billion bushels for corn and down 30 million bushels for soybeans.
Yeah, absolutely. Both old crop and new crop for corn and beans, as far as the U.S. were concerned, were, you know, friendly numbers as compared to some of the expectations. You know, when you look at corn going down, I think 80 million or so on the old crop, you know, regardless, you dropped in stocks. That's a good thing. I mean, supply and demand numbers definitely going to provide some support. But the problem for the market at this point, even though we do have friendly fundamentals, is that the weather is and trade issues are certainly not going away anytime soon.
Thanks for being with us today.
Yep, thanks, Don.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium for this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason here in Galena at the Eagle Ridge Resort, where the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference is taking place. I'll talk to you a bit more in the future about some of the things that they were able to discuss earlier today. They had a representative of McDonald's here. They buy 2% of all U.S. beef, an amazing number. We'll talk with them and take a look at the McDonald's fresh beef push and the incredible, and I do mean incredible, numbers it has managed to produce longer term for that company. So we'll do that over the next several days. In just a couple minutes, though, we'll be back. We'll talk with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for more than 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, the Closing Market Report and all of our agricultural programming can be found online at willag.org, or most of it in its entirety, mostly not long after it airs off on our radio station. Some of it even before it ever airs on the radio station. However, because I'm traveling in Galena, we'll have a difficult time tonight, mostly because of the internet access of getting Commodity Week put together. So you won't hear that program or see it probably until sometime tomorrow on Friday. Do visit, however, that website, willag.org. Pick up our programming. If you'd like to, you can find us as a podcast in most of your favorite podcast apps, including the NPR One app and Stitcher. Some of you I know like to use iTunes, and some of you like to use TuneIn. However you do it, listen to our program, and thank you. Thank you so very much for listening to Illinois Public Medium and willag.org.
It's National Strawberry Shortcake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Cyrus Hall McCormick patented his reaping machine. In 1854, Town Ed Glover was commissioned as the first U.S. federal entomologist. He was selected as a, quote, expert for collecting statistics and other information on seeds, fruits, and insects in the United States. His first report was printed that same year. In 1884, New York became the first state to pass laws requiring the burying of utility wires in any incorporated city over 500,000 people. In 1938, Dr. Benjamin Gruskin received a patent for chlorophyll as a therapeutic agent for use in treatment of infection of the bloodstream and for open cuts and wounds. In 1972, the Environmental Protection Agency banned DDT in the U.S. And in 1988, peanut butter sandwiches saved the day. Students in a school were kept in an extra 45 minutes by a 6-foot black bear that had wandered onto the playground. They kept it at bay by tossing out peanut butter sandwiches until the game warden arrived to take the bear away. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference today in Galena, Illinois at the Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa. Nice place to be. And I'm wondering, since it's about time to talk to meteorologist Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, what the weather will look like over the next several hours and through the weekend and rainfall that might be coming our way.
Well, we had a large thunderstorm cluster form overnight in central and western Iowa. That has steadily progressed eastward throughout the day and is now affecting parts of Illinois. The main uncertainty regards how much of Illinois will be affected by this system, but as of lunchtime, it looks like most of the heavy rain with that system would end up in the northern part of the state as opposed to the southern part. So that will be something to watch in the very near term, because not only will we deal with that today, we'll see a little bit of thunderstorm redevelopment tonight and again tomorrow. So Illinois is kind of in the action zone here in the near term. Once we get beyond tomorrow morning, most of the action shifts off to the west and to the north. You may have heard of Hurricane Bud out in the Pacific Ocean. Normally, we don't really care about these systems, but in this case, we do, because it's going to curve up into the plains later on in the weekend. The way it looks right now, that system will move due northward over the next couple of days, and then eventually its remnant circulation will move across the Dakotas. That will bring yet another big rain to parts of North Dakota and Minnesota, and also aid some of those drier areas of South Dakota. So by the time we get into the beginning of next week, dryness will not be a significant issue in the Dakotas at all, just because of that system. One of the big uncertainties, though, for next week regards exactly what happens in the Corn Belt. As noted, we've seen a lot of rain over the last week, and we're even seeing a little bit right now. As we get into next week, we should see some showers and thunderstorms in different areas. The big thing that we're concerned about regards coverage and amounts. On the one hand, we could have a fairly ideal setup where the remnant of Hurricane Bud somehow unleashes a few extra waves of energy, moves them into the Corn Belt, and then produces big rain. The more likely scenario, though, is for Hurricane Bud to pass to the north and then cooler air to slowly filter southward. That's not typically a setup for heavy rainfall, but would be conducive to a half of an inch to 1 inch of rain over the course of Monday through Friday next week.
And then if you could take a look for me at the Black Sea area. We've been concerned about dry weather there for a while now.
Well, that certainly continues. There's been some rain there this week in Ukraine, but Russia has stayed fairly dry. As we go through the next 24 to 48 hours, we'll see a few more thunderstorms in Ukraine. Most of those will be in the western part of the country, and most of the corn has grown to the east of there. So we don't think there'll be a big change in their corn outlook going forward. Once we get into next week, it's more of the same. There's not much rain in the forecast for the southeast half of Ukraine, again, where most of the corn is produced. That also includes a lot of wheat, and that extends right into southern Russia, including around half of their sunflowers and half of their winter wheat crop. So the drought in eastern Ukraine and southern Russia remains significant, and we don't expect any major changes in that over the next week or two.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago at the Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference in Galena I'm Todd Gleason.